Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr. with Ausperity Private Wealth. Retirement planning is more than just saving money. It's creating the life you've always dreamed of with financial freedom. I specialize in retirement and legacy planning. Build a strong financial portfolio so you'll enjoy retirement and leave your family a strong financial legacy. Secure your financial freedom. Call me, Mike Venaria Jr. at 856-252-0107.
Securities through Sanctuary Securities, Inc. Member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services through Sanctuary Advisors, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes five times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Ausperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Right now on Fox News, they're showing a picture from Delran, New Jersey. Not far from us right now. It was posted by at KGSkinS26 on X, I believe. Anyway, it's everywhere. It's the story. It is the story. What's going on with these drones? We'll talk about it as the show goes on. Welcome back. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. I appreciate you being here today. And we've got a lot more to get to. But I want to take a slight deviation from the scare in the air, as it's being called, and talk about freedom of speech and freedom of expression, because these things are very important. And they've been under attack for a long time, particularly on our college campuses. We know this. And we know that we have to fight to ensure freedom of expression is protected at all times. There's an organization right in Philadelphia that does great work in that. It's called FIRE, the Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression. They surveyed over 6,200 faculty members at 55 major colleges and universities asking about the state of free speech and self-censorship on their campuses. And the results were eye-opening. Here to talk about it with me is Nathan Honeycutt, Research Fellow and Chief Investigator of the 2024 FIRE Faculty Survey Report. Nathan, thanks for joining me here in Philadelphia. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Rich.
Some pretty eye-opening stuff in this. And before we get into it, give us a little background on FIRE. At one point, you guys were the Foundation for Individual Rights in Education, and then you kind of expanded that that charge.
Yeah, that's right. So about 2 years ago, we broadened our charge to not just be a free speech organization focusing on issues on college and university campuses, but to be a national free speech organization to help everyday Americans. There's a recent incident in New Jersey up in the city of Edison where people were wanting to bring flags to city council meetings. FIRE was stepping in to help there.
Good.
So we believe in the right of every American to speak their mind.
Good. Actually, before you go on, let's talk about that for a moment, because we played the clip on the show of what happened there. People had pocket constitutions and American flags, and what, the elected officials in the city of Edison, New Jersey, wouldn't let them display them? Do I understand that correctly?
That's my understanding, yeah. As a researcher, I wasn't involved in the advocacy really to that, but that's what I read.
Okay, gotcha. All right, so when you look into this on college campuses, 55 colleges and universities, over 6,200 college faculty members, I would assume these are all staunch advocates of freedom of speech. These are hippie professors who believe in free speech, free expression, free love, maybe just the only last part, I guess, maybe they actually believe in. But what did you find out?
We found out that a lot of faculty seem to be afraid and fearful. Many faculty reported that they feel that they're going to damage their reputations or could lose their jobs if they speak up. We found that 1 in 3 are toning down their writing for fear of causing controversy. So it's not a very free and open environment on many college and university campuses.
87% of faculty nationwide reported finding it difficult to have open and honest conversation on campus about at least one hot button political topic, with 70% naming Israel and Palestine in particular. But colleges are supposed to be about debate on hot button topics. That's the entire point.
That's what we think, too. And it's perhaps not surprising that Israeli-Palestinian conflict was more difficult this year, given what we've seen post-October 7th and with the encampments. But what was really interesting is we asked the question the same way that we asked in our student survey. And actually, more faculty than students said that they have a difficult time having an open, honest conversation about that. I think it was about 55% of students that we surveyed said that, and 70% of faculty. So faculty are more afraid than students on some issues.
You found a quarter of faculty, actually over that, said that they at least occasionally hide their political beliefs in order to keep their job, including a majority of conservative faculty, 55%. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah. So just like you said, a little over a quarter. And then there's a major ideological dimension there, that this conservative faculty, which they're already a minority in higher education. And so they're supposed to be serving as devil advocates, offer alternative perspectives. So you have this tiny slice of faculty who are having different views. And then half of that tiny slice is saying, like, no, I think I'm going to lose my job if I speak up. So it's really doing a disservice to teaching, to the research that's being conducted. It's not a healthy climate if many faculty feel this way.
No, it's not. And to your point about that, which I think is really important, is that we're already dealing with conservative faculty members being the minority on college campuses. Prior to this, they've been feeling like they had a target on their back. But again, in challenging thoughts and challenging beliefs, you'd want to see them speak up. When you did this survey and you find that 55% of conservative faculty are afraid to speak up, is that because they're really worried that they are going to lose their job? Because I think a lot of people hearing this think, well, don't these people have tenure?
It's because they're worried they'll lose their job, worried about damaging their reputation. And nowadays, what we're finding is that tenure isn't the gold standard for protection anymore. Sometimes it'll keep somebody from getting fired, perhaps, if they get jammed up in some sort of cancellation attack or attempt. But what we're seeing is the punishment is the process. Somebody being subjected to the cancellation, having to go to hearings and defend themselves, call witnesses, all of that. It's just, it turns into a nightmare for these faculty.
Nathan Honeycutt's with me from FIRE, the Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression. It's their 2024 FIRE Freedom of Expression report on college campuses. Really important stuff here. 71% say a liberal faculty member would fit in with their department, but only 20% said the same thing about a conservative faculty member. That's very troubling as well.
Yeah, huge disparity there, which I think is indicative of the fact that most faculty are liberal. So if most faculty are liberal, we just want more who think like them to surround them. So it's, in many senses, a very honest assessment on behalf of the liberal faculty. Like, yeah, there's not many who aren't liberal in our ranks. And if you're not, you're going to have a hard time fitting in.
That's too bad. That really is. That really is too bad. And I would also think that people who would want to get into academia who have conservative leanings would probably think twice about doing that as a result. A third reported toning down their writings to avoid controversy. Shockingly, this is nearly four times the rate who said this when the same question was asked of social scientists in 1954 at the height of McCarthyism. So we've gotten worse, a lot worse, not better.
Yeah, we're moving backwards. It's, that number was staggering to us, that four times as many faculty now compared to when there are witch hunts and trials and faculty getting fired left and right because of their beliefs. It's very chilling climate back during the McCarthy era. And faculty are saying it's worse.
50% of faculty say mandatory DEI statements are rarely or never acceptable, and 66% oppose universities making political statements. Break that down for us. What does that mean?
Sure. So DEI statements are a very popular added an element that universities are using for hiring faculty. So we'll ask them to submit a teaching statement, tell us about your research. But now many schools, they want faculty to talk about, well, what are you going to do about diversity? There's a lot of critics out there who say these can serve as litmus tests. You don't talk about the right types of diversity, you're not going to get hired. And so it's encouraging that so many faculty say, like, hey, these are a problem. We should probably rethink this. So opinions are still very mixed on that among faculty.
But I guess that's the silver lining. I'm sorry. I was going to say, I guess that's the silver lining in this study, is that the majority seem to oppose that.
Yes, definitely a silver lining. And I think something that universities should grasp onto, like, hey, we should not be imposing this from the top down. A lot of faculty really aren't on board with this. And then to the other stat that you mentioned, we look at that as a stat related to institutional neutrality. Super encouraging to fire that so many faculty, so about 2 in 3, say that universities shouldn't be taking stances on political issues. Things like George Floyd or really Palestinian conflict, whatever it might be, universities from the top down should stay out of it and leave it to the students, the faculty, and other campus constituents to debate these things, to discuss them. Because if there's a position that's imposed by a university from the top down, it chills the speech climate. What faculty member would come out with an alternate perspective on some controversial issue if their boss already took a stance on it?
That's so I
really hope that more universities will endorse that.
That's a great point, Nathan. That's a really great point. All right. So somebody's listening right now and says, I want to send my kid or my child wants to go to a school that really ranks high in freedom of speech and freedom of expression. I know you guys have a list, right? And there's a way that they can find that information.
Yeah. So encourage those people to visit thefire.org. We have the faculty report up. We have our college free speech rankings, We run that every year. Student survey responses and other data to rank schools for the campus of the climate of expression on their campus.
Great.
So it's a great resource for alumni, for students looking at what colleges they're going to attend. We're in the thick of that right now. Lots of college seniors applying to schools. We hope that will be a good research resource.
Excellent. Well, thank you for coming on the show today. Nathan Honeycutt, thefire.org, the Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression. Great work on this. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, we got a lot to get to on Capitol Hill today. Cash Patel, Tulsi Gabbard, Marco Rubio met with Tulsi Gabbard. We got a little audio of that exchange for you. And Trump rang the bell today, becoming the first president since Ronald Reagan to ring the bell at the stock exchange. That was really, really cool. He got a thunderous round of applause, and people were feeling like, yeah, baby, America is back. Some good stuff. And that's the big story of the hour, brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Veneria, veneriadental.com. Have you made your appointment to see a dentist yet before the year ends and those dental benefits go away? Don't wait. Two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury, veneriadental.com. I was just there yesterday. In fact, let's turn our attention to that for a moment, shall we? Donald Trump at the stock exchange, ringing the bell. It was great. USA chants broke out as the president-elect rang the bell this morning at the opening. Cut number 3.
The incoming leader of the free world is going to ring the bell here in about 20 seconds. An historic moment at the New York Stock Exchange as we get this opening bell rung by the president-elect, Donald Trump.
We're back, baby. We're back. It's a good feeling. It's good to be back. He talked to Jim Cramer about a number of things today, including crypto, artificial intelligence. Here's President-elect Trump, cut number 4.
I think so. We're going to do something great with crypto because we don't want China or anybody else, not just China, but others are embracing it, and we want to be the head. We're going to be ahead of AI. We're going to be way ahead of AI, and we've got to produce tremendous amounts of electricity. You know that it's unbelievable when you think that we need more than twice what we already have. If you think that's pretty for a specific industry, but we'll be able to do it. We have Lee Zeldin in charge of the environment. He's going to be giving us very strong approvals, I think, and he's going to make sure everything's good and clean and proper, but he's going to give us very fast approvals.
He talked about how America has been abused, and economically we have done some really, really stupid things. Cut number five.
Well, we're going to be having a lot of talks with China. We have a good relationship with China. I have a surprising relationship. Now, when the COVID came in, I sort of cut it off. That was a step too far. That was, as they say, a bridge too far. But we've been talking and discussing with President Xi some things and others, other world leaders. And I think we're going to do very well all around. And we've been abused as a country. We've been badly abused from an economic standpoint, I think. And even militarily, you know, we put up all the money, they put up nothing. And then they abuse us on the economy. And we just can't let that happen. We're not going to be abused anymore. We put America first, but we're also going to help other countries.
And then the real question, of course, is incentivizing the country, all right? How do we do this? How do we get everybody involved? How do we make everybody excited? How much involvement is the vice president, J.D. Vance, going to have in all that, as President-elect Trump spoke with Jim Cramer this morning after ringing the bell? Cut number six.
But I think we're going to really incentivize the country to go back and work, and they'll be incentivized. They're going to do well. People are going to be very happy. JD is very much involved, and I have a great partner right over here with our First Lady. People love our First Lady, and we're going to do something very special. We have some great people up there. You saw some of the people on the cabinet. And we have some of the most successful people in the country, and we're dealing with the most successful people, and those are the people that put others to work, and we're going to be hitting job numbers. And as you probably heard me say, we picked up, since just the election, $3 trillion in, you call it worth or value, but $3 trillion was picked up since November 5th, so that's pretty good.
Look, people are excited. They really are. And January 20th just cannot come soon enough, truly. In terms of incentivizing companies, I love the idea of saying if you build in America, which obviously is more expensive because there's so many regulations we got to cut. Wages are higher, obviously, in the United States of America than they are than if you build crap cheap in China. So you got to have incentives for companies to manufacture here. If you want to bring manufacturing back, that's what you got to do. So the idea of a 15% corporate tax rate for those who manufacture in the United States of America, look, that's what we got to do. I think it's a great carrot. Cut number seven.
Well, I think I've always said, you know, to me, stock market is very, all of it, you know, all of it together. It's very important. It's an honor to be here at New York Stock Exchange. I sort of joked that I actually bought the building across the street because the stock exchange was here. It's a big deal.
40, it's a nice building.
40 Wall Street. So, look, we're going to do things, I think, that haven't been really done before. We're going to be cutting taxes still further. You know, we got it down to 21%. We're going to bring it down even below that. You pay 21 if you don't build here, and meaning you product or whatever it is you're building. And if you do, we're going to try getting it down to 15%. But you have to build your product, make your product in the USA.
There you go. USA, baby. All right. New details are emerging about Luigi Mangione, the accused killer of the UnitedHealthcare CEO. I'll tell you what awful thing AOC said. Well, the drones. Have you seen them? Let me know, 855-839-1210, or on X at Rich Zeoli, or our YouTube chat. Join the fun. We are streaming live on YouTube, youtube.com, 1210 WPHT. Please like and subscribe to our YouTube. It's very, very important that you do, because we don't want Google silencing us. All right. My home is in good hands because of Emmons Roofing and Siding. For over 10 years, I've used the team at Emmons. So our old house, which we were living in till about a year and a half ago, they did our roof. Roof had to be repaired, completely redone. Emmons did a fantastic job. And I was so impressed with the work, I said, well, you know what? Let's do the windows. They replaced the windows. Then I had them do some doors for me. Emmons is the best. And they're giving each and every one of my listeners 10% off. That's right, 10% off roofing, siding, Anderson window replacement, doors, and so much more. And you can trust the team at Emmons just like I do. Matt and Stephanie are great personal friends of mine. They serve our entire region, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, and the Jersey Shore. They even have a bathroom remodeling division. And yes, Emmons remodeled the bathroom in our old home. So what are you waiting for? Winter's on its way. Obviously, it's here. I mean, it's friggin' freezing out. So if you have any issues with your roof, get a free roof inspection today by going to emmonsroofing.com. They'll never tell you you need a new roof if you don't, but if you do, you'll get a lifetime warranty on that roof with the Owens Corning shingle, the best in the business. So trust the name that I have trusted for over 10 years in two different homes, Emmons Roofing, E-M-M-O-N-S, emmonsroofing.com. 10% off for each and every one of my listeners. Make sure you tell them I sent you, emmonsroofing.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
All right, so tomorrow I'm filling in for Jimmy Failla on Fox Across America. Susie Cool tells me that the guest host today, Paul Gleiser, my buddy from Texas, was talking smack about me because they do this quiz on the show, and he got 5 out of 5, and last time I was on, I only got 3 out of 5. So we'll see if I can do better tomorrow. But it's rigged. The whole thing is rigged. It's absolutely rigged, 100%. They cheat. That's what they do. And it's just like the 2020 election. So I have no doubts about that. But tune in anyway tomorrow, and you'll have 7 hours. We'll have 7 hours of radio tomorrow. It's going to be glorious, glorious day on a Friday. I'm not only working on a Friday, I'm working a double on a Friday. Oh, by the way, I started watching that new show Landman last night. My buddy Joe Adams and Lee Pervorsky, they recommended it to me. Damn, is that a good show. That's got Billy Bob Thornton in the lead role. It's by Taylor Sheridan, who's the guy behind Yellowstone. And the show is great. I am hooked. I'm on the third episode already. I'm like a crack addict. Like, I couldn't stop watching it last night. It was like 12:30 at night when finally I said, I got to go to bed. But it's great. Now, Justin, you a fan of Yellowstone at all? You ever watch that show?
I haven't personally given it a watch, but I know my grandparents really love watching it.
Oh, it's great. It's a good show. I know DeSantis doesn't watch anything, so I'm not even going to bother asking him. He literally watches nothing. So,
I've watched it. I didn't care for it.
You didn't care for Yellowstone?
It wasn't bad. I don't know. How much time am I going to invest in it? I watched a couple episodes and called it quits.
Kirk, let me know if you watched it, because I need somebody on the show who has good taste. I mean, I don't know what to say. And Taylor Sheridan also did a couple of other spinoffs to Yellowstone, but Landman, I think it's his best work yet, because he did 18 whatever it was, and then he did 1923, I think it was called, and then he did a spinoff with Sylvester Stallone, which I never got a chance to watch, but this Landman, oof, damn, it's good. So Billy Bob Thornton plays a guy who works for the oil industry, and he's in charge of all the land that they drill on. And, oh, it's good. Good stuff. It's available on the Paramount Plus, I think, is the
network. Paramount. But speaking of Sylvester Stallone, I've been watching Tulsa King.
Yeah, that's it. That's another Taylor Sheridan spinoff.
I love Tulsa King.
It's good?
100% would recommend if you have time after binging through Yellowstone.
All right, well, I'll add that to the list then. So if you like Tulsa King, you'll love Landman. And you have access to Landman because you have Paramount Plus then, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so you should definitely watch it.
Yeah, I'll add that to the list as well. You add that one, I'll add the other one.
And Kirk's endorsing Tulsa King as well. All right, Kirk, you like Tulsa King. That means you got to start watching Landman too, okay? I'll start watching Tulsa King tonight after, because I mean, I'm almost to the point where I've caught up to all the episodes that are available of Landman, and then I'm going to need something else to watch. In the meantime, I'll watch Tulsa King. And Susie Cool had recommended that show to me too in the past. I forgot to get around to it. I started watching The Lincoln Lawyer on Netflix. That's pretty good. Mostly my wife loved watching, and she didn't fall asleep, and that's the key. My wife falls asleep watching everything. So if I can find a show that she doesn't fall asleep watching, that's a big win. Some shows I want her to fall asleep, and then I can watch whatever I want. That's another little Jedi mind trick I play on her sometimes. I gotta be careful. She might be listening right now. I gotta watch what I say. But that's a Jedi mind trick right there. What you do is you're like, well, let's watch this show, honey. And then 5 minutes later, she's like snoring away. And then I can flip over to something that I actually want to watch. And then just let her sleep next to me. But then it's not cheating, you know, because if you commit TV adultery, it's like the worst thing you can ever do. You know, TV adultery is even worse than adultery in many countries. So,
wait, did you watch The Penguin by chance, the HBO series?
No, I have not. No. Is it good?
I just started it. I'm about an episode in. I think it's okay, but there's an incredible amount of hype over it. Like, it has 95% positive reviews on Rotten Tomatoes. So maybe I just don't like TV.
This is the origin story of the Penguin as told through the lens of the Batman, which was the Batman featuring that, what's his name, goth emo, what's his face?
The guy from Twilight, Robert Pattinson,
yeah.
Who was okay as Batman. I mean, the movie was fine. It was all right.
I thought it was pretty long.
That was my issue with it.
Way too long. Yeah.
Colin Farrell is very good in The Penguin. I will say that.
It's good. I mean, look, it's no Christian Bale. It's not anywhere near that caliber of Batman. Is it better than Ben Affleck? Of course. Is it better than George Clooney's bat nipples? Yeah. But it's friggin' long. I only watched it once. And just as a point of reference, I've seen, if you add up Batman Begins, The Dark Knight, and The Dark Knight Rises, I've watched those movies a combined 347 times. But I've only watched The Batman with Robert Pattinson once. Because like 2.5 hours in, I'm like, oh, stop, make it stop already. I wanted somebody, like an evil villain, to kill me, you know?
So, are you not going to see the Batman Part 2 when it comes out?
Are they making a Part 2?
Yeah, it was. I think it was supposed to come out next year, but there was, for some reason, like a massive gap in filming. So now it's not coming out until 2026.
I mean, I'll probably go see it. What I'm really looking forward to is they're making a new Superman movie, which is apparently coming out next year. And the guy behind it is the guy who was the guy behind Guardians of the Galaxy before he got canceled, and then they brought him back. And he's really good. But the key is they're going back to Superman's roots of truth, justice, and the American way. I don't know if you know this or not. There was a movie they did years ago called Superman Returns. And it was terrible. But it was supposed to be like the Christopher Reeve Superman comes back after being gone all these years. And when they did the promo for that, I remember the guy who played Perry White? That's the guy's name, the editor. He said, does he still stand for truth, justice, all that stuff? And they took out American Way. And I was like, you can't do that. But they were worried about international audiences or being woke or whatever. And the movie was bad. It was dumb. So anyway, they're going back to that truth, justice, and the American Way thing. So I've got great hope for that movie. So I'm excited for that. That's coming out in 2025.
Yeah, and you're right. It is directed by James Gunn. Everything James Gunn done is pretty good. And the guy who plays Superman, David Cornsweet, I think is his name, he is from Philadelphia, oddly enough.
Yeah, is he from, like, Radnor or something?
I'm not entirely sure where. I know he went to UPenn also.
Did he? But he didn't kill anybody. So that's
No, not like Luigi.
That's really good. And then the only other question is, will the Bob Dylan movie be any good? I'm not going to go see that. I'm sure Stalker will, but I'm not going to go see that. But they did film a lot of it in New Jersey. So,
what, do you not like Timothy Chalamet?
I do. I don't know. I'm not a big biopic guy. You know what I mean? Biopic. What do you call it?
I hear people say biopic.
Although I will say our buddy Linda Kearns loved the Elvis biopic that they did. She was a big, because you know she's an Elvis junkie. Oh, speaking of Linda Kearns, she texted me earlier today. Listen to this. She's hired for the inaugural committee for President-elect Donald Trump. How cool is that?
That's great.
Congratulations to Linda Kearns, who will be part of President Trump's inaugural committee. And the first question that I'll be asking her is, can you get me tickets? Just kidding. Just kidding. If I wanted to go to the inauguration, I could get tickets on my own. I have no desire to go to the inauguration. I've been there, done that. I checked that box. I have no interest in going. I don't. Have you ever been to an inauguration?
I have not, but I imagine it's going to be pretty crazy.
Yeah. It's worth going to an inauguration. It is worth going to. But it's kind of like going to Vegas. Like, you've done it. You don't need to go back. You know what I mean? That's kind of how I feel about it.
Did you attend?
Certain things, like, you check the box and you're like, I'm good, you know? So.
Did you broadcast from there or did you just attend?
No, I was a civilian back then. So I was just a lowly Republican county chairman back then. I wasn't on the radio yet, so. I mean, it's fun. There's a lot of parties, but it's a chaos. You got to wear a tuxedo. Speaking of penguins, I hate wearing a tux. You know what I mean? Go to the balls and everything like that. Maybe I'll go. I don't know. Now I'm thinking maybe I'll go. I don't know. Maybe I'll go.
I'm starting to get nervous that we're going to get an email from Stalker saying, hey, can you broadcast from D.C.?
From the inauguration. I think I invited to McCormick swearing in, though, so I'm probably going to go to D.C. for that.
That'll be cool.
Yeah, that'll be cool. That'll be fun. It'll be nice to go there. I'll go to the Hawk and Dove. They have the best mozzarella sticks in all of Washington, D.C. It's a bar in Capitol Hill. But no, and you know, the question, of course, of would I ever want to go work in Washington? The answer is no. I have really no interest. I really don't. I enjoy what I do. I love what I do. But I'm not ruling anything out. That's all I can say. I'm not ruling anything out. I never rule anything out in life. I say you always see what life brings you. It's always an adventure. But for the time being, I will be staying on the air here at Talk Radio 1210 WPHT for the foreseeable future. But that expires on December 31st. Like, in other words, I'm every 2 weeks, I'm going to come back with that caveat. So I'll refresh everybody's memory every 2 weeks. I'm not making any long-term commitments. I think it's the way to handle it for the time being. So we'll see. See how that goes. Let's go to Steve. He's in Langhorne. He wanted to chat about the drone. Steve, what's going on?
Hey, man. How you doing?
Good. Listen, how are you?
Anytime, you know, what the Rear Admiral was saying about it, you know, like private planes or whatever, nobody takes off from an airport without filing a flight plan. The minute you get in the sky, the guy in the tower tells you what elevation to fly at. You're in constant contact. Depending on where you're going, you have to set your beacon. So whatever he said is total crap. And for a military man to say that, it's like, I mean, I'm surprised, like, you know, like a pilot hasn't called you up.
Yeah, what Kirby said, and I'll replay it in just a minute, just to refresh everybody's memory. You're right. It's total BS. It's gaslighting us. It's making us think we're crazy. That's what they're trying to do. They're making us think that we're crazy and we're seeing things in the sky.
I think he's crazy.
He is crazy, and he's lying. Steve, thanks, buddy. I appreciate the call. I don't know what happened. I don't know what just happened, but Linda Kearns just texted. I'm going to read the text on the air. A woman who, I say, single-handedly saved Pennsylvania. Two people, Linda Kearns and Scott Pressler. Three people, and me, obviously, the three of us. But delivered Pennsylvania for Donald Trump. I mean, clearly there were others, but... But on election night, he only called one of us, and that was me. So he said, she's what Linda Kearns just texted. I'm only getting tickets from Matt. I've decided I am back on Team DeSantis.
Yes.
What is that?
I don't know, but this is the happiest day of my entire life.
How did you suck up to get her back on your team, DeSantis? What did you do?
I'm just likable, I think.
You're not likable. You're the least likable person I know. So what did you do? How did you bribe her?
I didn't bribe her. I'm just likable. Now she likes me again. I mean, I'll be honest. There are not many people on Team Matt DeSantis. So whenever we get a member, this is a big occasion. And when you get a member as great as Linda Kearns, this is cause for celebration. I'm ecstatic.
You can hear the sucking up right now, in case you're curious what sucking up sounds like. It's that.
She did uninvite me to Thanksgiving, but yeah. I'm willing to forgive her. I assume we'll have Christmas together.
It's fine. Fair enough. Fine. Back on Team DeSantis. Well, it's a lonely team, Linda. They can't even field the whole team, if you know what I mean. They're short. A shortstop, a pitcher. So
we're getting there. We're getting there.
I mean, it's scrappy. It's like the Sandlot at this point. All right. Let me go to, let's see, we're talking about the drone. Let me just to refresh your memory about what Kirby said about the gaslighting, because I think this is very, very important. Make us think we're all freaking crazy here today. This is what Kirby said today. Take a listen.
We have not been able to, and neither have state or local law enforcement authorities, corroborate any of the reported visual sightings. To the contrary, upon review of available imagery, it appears that many of the reported sightings are actually manned aircraft that are being operated lawfully. The United States Coast Guard is providing support to the state of New Jersey and has confirmed that there is no evidence of any foreign-based involvement from coastal vessels. And importantly, there are no reported or confirmed drone sightings in any restricted airspace.
You know what? That is what we call lying. That is gaslighting. Let me tell you what that is right now. That is literally the definition of that. You're all crazy. Everything you're seeing in the sky, it's not real. Well, the term gaslighting comes from that movie, Gaslight, where the woman, like every day the gas gets lower and lower, and she thinks, and the husband convinces her that's not really happening. She's losing her mind. That's literally what Kirby's doing to us. Nah, it's just a guy with a drone in the back of his yard. That's all. He's pulling a Frank Pantangeli. That's what it is. Oh, I got to give a shout out to, let me see, DeSantis, you have that clip ready for me? You have it loaded up?
Yeah, we got it ready to go.
All right, but first, before I do that, I got to give the proper attribution where it belongs on X to the Zioli Army, because whenever somebody comes up with something great like that, I got to give it to them. So, Mark Robson, 88, on X, that's great. He compared what Kirby just said to this famous classic scene from Godfather Part 2 when Frank Pantangeli sees his brother walk in from Sicily. Take a listen.
I don't know nothing about that. Oh, I was in the olive oil business with his father, but that was a long time ago, that's all.
We have a sworn affidavit. We have it. Your sworn affidavit that you murdered on the orders of Michael Corleone. Do you deny this confession? And do you realize what will happen as a result of your denial?
Look, the FBI guys, they promised me a deal. So I made up a lot of stuff about Michael Corleone, because that's what they wanted. But it was all lies. Everything. And I kept saying, Michael Corleone did this, and Michael Corleone did that. So I said, yeah, sure.
Mr. Corleone. Would you kindly identify for the committee
It's perfect. That's what it is. That's what sets Kirby today. He's like, yeah, they think these drones. It's a guy in his backyard. Yeah, with a joystick and flashing lights. And great reference. Well done, Mark. Well done. Excellent work. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zioli. Let me go to Rich in Pemberton. Rich, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing? All right, so back on August 30th, I had to look at the date on my video, but I was driving through Fort Dix. I live right outside the base. I was stationed at McGuire, and going through the base, and there's trees on both sides of the road. And crossing the road, I see these bright white lights in a set of three, a row of three of them, one, two, three, and then another row, and then another row. I pass under them, and I'm looking at them thinking, well, it's not a helicopter. They're not aircraft. Mm-hmm. They're heading towards McGuire, going across this road on Fort Dix. And after I'm looking in my mirror, and I'm still seeing them, so I pull over, and I take out my phone, and I video another six of them crossing the road. So I see, like, over 20 of these large drones, and the lights, like, real bright. It didn't have the little red and yellow, you know, green flickering lights. So I knew it wasn't an aircraft. They're just above the tree height. And once they go into the airspace, the physical direction of McGuire itself, the lights go out. And I'm videotaping it. And I'm like, where are they going? Like, they're not landing. They're not, you know, I don't see them going down. I don't see the flash of light as they fly, you know, warp speed to the left or the right or whatever. But there were a lot of them. They were big. They were bright. And for them to say they're not flying over air, you know, military airspace, I was on the base when I seen them. So I don't know what he's talking about. Now, I didn't report it back on August 30th. I assumed that it was just some, you know, McGuire Air Force Base doing whatever McGuire Air Force Base was doing and flying these things around. No kid's got 20-something drones flying at one time in a formation of three every, you know, 10 seconds they're crossing the road. There's a gap between, there's like three, and then there was a gap, and then there was another three, and then there was a gap. And I'm watching them, and then I'm looking in my rearview mirror as I continue down the road heading towards Pemberton, and I'm like, no, they're still happening. So I, you know, then I decided to pull over and try to videotape, which I did. I videotaped it and sent it to my family, like, hey, look, I've seen some UFOs today. Isn't that funny? You know, and now everybody's talking about them. And so I went back and looked on my phone, and I was like, yeah, that was, it happened on August 30th. So it's not a new thing. I mean, maybe the amount of stuff that people are seeing now, but yeah, it's been going on for a while.
Thank you, Rich. Thanks for the update. I appreciate. Yeah, look, you're right. And if it is just military exercises, then just tell us that. Say, yeah, you know, we're doing military drills, and that'd be the end of it. This is the point that I made last night on Newsmax. I said this. If it is that, then be honest with people, and it'll make our enemies think, wow, the U.S. has some really sophisticated stuff. There's no downside to saying that these are military drills if they are. None whatsoever. But, I mean, to make people nervous and then to turn around and gaslight people and act like they're all crazy. Uncle Sam on the YouTube chat says, Frankie Five Fingers Kirby. Oh, that's great. Frankie Five Fingers. Frankie Five Angels. I love it. That's great. So I mean, it's just they're lying is what they are. Kirby is full of it. And now we've reached the point in this entire drone thing, which has been going on now for weeks, where they're making us, they're making you and I, we're the crazy ones. What we're seeing with our own eyes is not that. You walked in, your husband's got a woman in bed, but it's, what, wasn't me. Wasn't me. Classic Eddie Murphy. I saw you with it, but wasn't me. I mean, it's crazy. All right, Cherry Hill Volvo. We broadcast live from the Cherry Hill Volvo studios, as you know. My great friend Judith Krupnik, their entire team over there, they are our studio sponsor. That means a lot. Because in this day and age of cancel culture, they step up and stand with us at Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. We drive the XC90, which is a beautiful, beautiful family car with that third row and all the latest technology, safety, and everything else you can imagine. And I love it. And it can be yours now for only $687 a month with all applicable rebates and an extra $2,000 a month if you're a Costco member. Yeah. I mean, it's a wonderful time. It's a wonderful time to go by Cherry Hill Volvo and say hello. They've been doing a renovation. And because of that, Judith wants to make it up to you by making sure that you get the absolute best deal possible. There's the S-Class made at their plant in South Carolina. Beautiful cars, American made. Either way, at Cherry Hill Volvo on Route 70 in Cherry Hill, you will get the utmost customer experience because that's what Judith prides herself on, giving you a great experience. That's what they say. Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships matter, and they prove that every single day. So if you've been thinking about it, you've been thinking about doing a test drive, but you're worried about getting pressured, or don't worry about that. I have friends who went 5-6 times, so they wound up buying a Volvo from Cherry Hill Volvo. But just do me a favor. Don't go to any other Volvo dealership but them, because they're our sponsor. They're our studio sponsor. So of all the Volvo dealerships in the land, Cherry Hill Volvo is the one that stands with us. Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships really do matter.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
I can't wait till I can get up and start walking around again because this friggin' toe surgery and I gotta keep my leg elevated and, you know, I hobble around like a gimp and I got this knee thing so, you know, I can scoot around on it, but I can't wait till this. It could be a couple weeks, so I can't drive, I gotta wear a boot, you know, the whole thing. But I'm only saying that because I have to sit. I hate sitting during the show. I like to stand. However, I will be doing 7 hours of radio tomorrow because I'm filling in for Jimmy Failla. And I'm thinking that since he was a cab driver, I may buy those beads. You know the beads I'm talking about that the cabbies and the truck drivers use them too for your back and your, you know, your tailbone? I may do that. See if I can get that on Amazon tonight. I can't go to the freaking store, so see if I can get an overnight shipping on that. Maybe a drone will deliver to my house. Hey, you never know. But, yeah, 7 hours of radio tomorrow. We got a lot to talk about. We got a lot going on. And I'll take your calls, obviously, throughout the show today on what's going on with the drones. But I just want to make a point about Tulsi Gabbard, and it's this. The Wall Street Journal turning on her tells you everything you need to know. Don't you find it interesting that today the director of Inspector General of the FBI comes out with a report, says there are 26 confidential informants that were at the Capitol on January 6, 2021, the high holy day of the left. First of all, I think it's more. Secondly, they're not telling us who. Third, I've always believed this. I've always known this. I have no doubts about this. And I will always be convinced until I'm told otherwise that Ray Epps is one of those guys. Remember, Ray Epps is the guy who the night before was chanting, tomorrow we go in the Capitol, we go in the Capitol, and everybody around him was chanting, Fed, Fed, Fed. And then the media, the corporate media, turned him into this poor guy who was the subject of MAGA conspiracy theories. You remember this? CBS 60 Minutes profiled him and his wife, how this poor guy became the victim of a vast MAGA conspiracy, left out the part where he was telling people to go into the Capitol building. And then the next day on January 6th, when he doesn't go in, but he tells other people to go in, they leave all that out. New York Times has a whole story about that. And that's when I said, I guarantee this guy is a confidential informant, because the way it works with these people is these reporters, it's a total quid pro quo relationship. You know, they need information from the government. The government wants them to write stories that they like. So they do this reciprocal stuff. So that means that the national security writers for the New York Times wind up calling up to the FBI, and they're like, got it, do us a favor, all right? This poor guy, Ray Epps, is getting beat up, and, you know, wink, wink, can't tell you if he's one of ours or not, but, and they go, okay, I get it, but I need a favor from you, and that day may never come, but someday, and the day always comes, and the reporter needs something from their source, and that's how it works. They write this whole piece about poor Ray Epps and everything he had to go through and how he's had to change his number. Of course, also leaving out the fact that he told people to go into the Capitol building the next day. More details will come out about this. And eventually, when Kash Patel is FBI director, Tulsi Gabbard is director of national intelligence, we can get all this aired out. Because if you remember, Chris Wray sat before the House committee and would not answer the question about whether or not there are any confidential human sources there that day, and informants or and these terms are tricky, but I think it's just very important to know this. Whether that person is an undercover FBI agent, whether that person is a confidential human source, whether that person's an informant, it's all the same. It's somebody who's giving information to the FBI, or is there to do the bidding of the FBI, or is there to report back to the FBI. Just like the case with the kidnapping of Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer, which was orchestrated by the FBI confidential human source, informant, whatever the hell you want to call the guy. And this Inspector General's report, in my opinion, is only the tip of the iceberg. But conveniently, that was always the tell. For me, with Ray Epps, that was always the tell. Always. All right. So the question is for you. Donald Trump wants to give American businesses a 15% corporate tax rate if they manufacture in America. Will it work? Well, we can look to Ireland as proof that it absolutely will. I'll tell you what Ireland did and why the United States doing that will be an absolute boon for our economy. Plus, Mayor Eric Adams met with Tom Homan today, the border czar. He had a lot to say, including the fact that the United States of America can't account for over 500,000 missing migrant children. Mayor of New York City making big headlines with what he had to say. So I'll share that with you in our 5 o'clock hour. We got 30 minutes of nonstop talk coming up for you, courtesy of our friends at the Grand Hotel of Cape May. Just a reminder, I got the text. Santa will be there on December 20th for our next live show. So mark your calendar and make sure you're there for us. Make sure you're there with us for our next live show, live at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, on December 20th. So a lot to get to in our 5 o'clock hour with 30 minutes of nonstop talk. Streaming live on YouTube. Join the fun. Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.